y'all know what it is.
Y'all ready?
Turn it up.
1, 2, 3.
Unscripted, unshackled, uncouth. What you're about to hear is for mature ears only. It's Miguel and Holly, uncensored, from Hot 101.5.
It is another edition of Miguel and Holly Uncensored. My name is Miguel Fuller. That is Holly O'Connor.
Hello.
Producer Ryan is on his way. And we have a special guest, Tim Clark.
That was fancy.
Yeah.
You
like
that? I didn't realize you had a whole intro and everything.
Yeah. We're at like next level over here.
That was big.
Think? What do you think? This is some small market operation we got going on?
We're supposed to be doing your end of the year performance review right now. And I got a phone call from Miguel and he says, we got to do the podcast. And I'm like, what podcast?
Yeah.
And I come in here, there's a whole operation happening.
Yeah, we got this whole thing going. Yeah.
We're working on levels and levels and levels.
Okay.
Exactly.
I'm impressed.
So if you don't know, Tim, because we have to explain, you're just some man that just popped into our studio.
Hello. No, they all used to be on the radio station back in the day.
Yeah, but there's a lot of different listeners to this podcast.
Okay.
It's not just like old school Hot 101.5 listeners.
Not people that used to listen to Tim Clark Afternoon Experience?
Probably.
Was that the name of your show?
Did you call it that?
That would be suggesting I put that much effort into it.
Okay. This was your station. Why,
I know. Well,
you?
I was busy running the damn station, let alone having to come in and do a show.
Oh my God.
This is great. This is what's
this
wrong
is
with
uncensored,
the radio.
Right? I thought you wanted uncensored.
No,
I don't know.
We're getting it.
I make stuff up.
Tim, he is our interim program director, and you work at corporate because he used to be the program director. And just a little quick aside, here's what's really cool about Tim. I'm going to stroke your ego here a little
bit. I got to get you on a podcast to say nice things about me? Is that the trick?
Yes, that's it. This is the only way. You're sort of like a whiz kid, and I would say you're very well known in the radio world because before you and I worked together, I knew of you because you were like that little, he's Asian.
Oh,
so we're gonna go ahead
that's
and
what it is.
Put that out.
We'll just go right there.
But you you ascended very quickly in the radio world. And so how old are you? You're 27, 28?
On Saturday, I'm 29. So
29.
I'll be, and by the way, I am barely a medium these days. Depending on the brand, maybe a large, medium plus.
But you're tall.
What does that have to do now with anything?
I don't know. I thought we were going into this whole Tim is little thing, but I wanted to make sure people
were going into Tim is little thing? Because that's a whole other podcast.
Oh.
No, we might have to get into that as well.
Okay.
But you ascended very quickly, and you were a program director in Market 50, Jacksonville. By what age?
So I went to Jacksonville, and I wasn't even 21 quite yet, so I couldn't even take my staff out to happy hour to like, you know what I mean? Like, hey, let's go get together and do some drinks. So we can get to know each other. Couldn't even do it.
Gave you this kind of power at that age? That's
I don't know.
Stupid.
I'll tell you what. They're probably not even working in this company anymore. They got fired a long time ago for bad decision making.
Yeah.
Is what they did.
Now, can you look back at that and do you think that it was wise of them to give you that much power at that age? Because clearly, someone thought that you had the knowledge to. But do you think that your maturity level was there?
It absolutely wasn't. But on a serious note, it was kind of like it's really sort of set the core philosophy for me when I work with people now. And it was the whole, we're going to put you out in the deep end and see if you're able to swim. But if you can't, we'll throw you the life preserver. So there were a lot of really, on a serious note, there were a lot of really incredible people around me just at all times to make sure I wasn't going to sink. But it was, I definitely made my fair share of F-ups and, continued to do so. But it was a lot. But the people around me truly, though, were very smart and they wouldn't have put me in that job if they didn't think that, A, I could do it, but also I wasn't getting the support and, you know, the structure around me to be able to learn and figure it all out. So.
Corporate bull speak. Corporate bull speak.
We'll circle back around to that later.
Yes, we will.
Let's calendar
so
something.
Okay.
Oh,
God
buzzwords.
Damn. Well, you know, it has been really cool working with you as a person who is a radio nerd. And, you know, I stalked you down way back in the day when Holly and I were in Panama City. And I was like the radio nerd who was trying to see what is our next market. And I remember when you got the job in Jacksonville, I think I added you on MySpace or Facebook.
MySpace. Was I in your top 8?
No, you were not.
Oh, sorry. sorry.
But I was like, ooh, maybe if I add him on Facebook, he can see the stuff that we post, and then maybe we can go work in Jacksonville.
Well, I don't know if I ever told you this or anybody this, but you know, like, you're always looking for, you're always just making sure you have a backup plan and options and everything. And you know, even when everything's going real well with, as a program director, even when everything's going real well with your staff and everything, you always like kind of make sure you know what's out there, right? And you guys were always, when you were in Panama City, always at the sort of the top of my list when it came to, like, if my morning show got hit by a bus in Jacksonville, I was calling you guys.
Really?
Yeah, I swear.
That's always what has to happen in the business. Someone's got to get hit by a bus.
Yeah, I know. Why is that the cliche? Like, that sounds really painful.
I don't know. We used to say that about several people, but
there's a people that you want to get hit by the bus.
True. Thing.
Do you want to say who those people are you want to get hit by?
Absolutely
a bus?
Not.
No.
I love everyone.
Okay, so who is on your radar if we get hit by a bus?
See, no, I don't know.
That's you not, put yourself in that no, corner no, when
no,
you
no.
said that.
That's not my problem anymore. We got other people that worry about that.
You're like, I don't know, but there are people that we're looking at.
I make the apps work. That's it. Yeah. That's right.
Well, we sort of have to go over the blown off ball that happened this past weekend, because it was a shit show.
In the good way.
It was a fun shit show, but good Lord. So I have a couple of notes jotted down here that I wanted to go over.
Please.
My first header under the blown off ball is Holly, the gentleman that you were
that tall gentleman.
We talked about it on the air this morning, so I feel like it's fair game.
Okay.
I was checking in all weekend. I wasn't getting anything out of it.
What?
So who is he?
Oh.
And he just popped up out of nowhere.
Yeah.
So basically, we had it at Push Ultra Lounge, and it has in the main floor, they have like VIP areas, and Holly was over there. All of a sudden, I don't even know, remember at what point, but I think it was right maybe at around 11. All of a sudden, you see this tall drink of water in this nice Banana Republic suit just sort of like lurching and hanging about.
And it was like a beige. It was like a Hamptons type vibe.
It was nice. Was it like a salmon or a pink shirt?
We tipped over the point where it's like not post-Memorial Day or Labor Day anymore, and now the thing resets?
Yeah,
or
it's fine.
Okay,
yeah.
So he can wear beige.
Fine. Yeah, so it's
Got
fine.
It.
It's fine now.
Perfect.
Who is he and what was happening and where did he pop up from?
Okay.
I feel like we all just got smacked in the face. Who is he? What's happening?
Okay.
I have questions.
And did he give you bronchitis?
No, I have already had the bronchitis.
Or did he take it away for a little bit?
Holly gave it to him.
Maybe I did. Sorry
he got
about that.
Bronchitis.
Ain't nobody got time
Holly
for that.
Holly made it her job to spread the bronchitis.
I did. Okay, well, I don't want to get too much into him because that's not my intention to throw him into the fray at all. But I met him on New Year's Eve.
Okay.
Oh, you knew this guy already?
Yeah, I knew him already.
Oh.
So I met him on New Year's Eve and...
Holly's carefully picking the
wait, hold on. At the Daya thing?
No, after.
Oh.
We had a thing at Janice, and then I went out to Tryst with Miguel and the crew, and that's where I met him. So we had this good conversation on New Year's, and some, you know, things transpired. Like, we did some making out.
Right.
Whatnot.
Okay.
And then we sort of kept in touch, and... So we've been chatting over the past month or so, just sporadically. Okay, here's the thing with him. He's young.
Mm-hmm.
He's real young.
How like young?
Yes.
He's 24.
Ooh. Oh!
Yeah.
10 years your junior?
Yeah. So,
okay.
Uh-huh. But he's like very mature and is a good speaker.
And he makes up for it in height.
Hey.
Real tall.
How tall is he?
I don't know.
7 feet at least. At least.
To be like at least
eight
six,
in heels.
Five. I don't know. He's tall. And he has, like, he looks like a model, okay? Like, he looks like a damn, like, he's square jaw.
Yes.
Ass.
I mean,
he did have quite the square jaw. That was the first thing I noticed.
It was absolutely perfect. I mean, is he a model?
No, he's not. He should be.
Wow.
Is square jaw a thing they look for in male models now?
Yeah.
Oh, not now. Always.
That jawline.
It looks so awkward.
No, you can't. You can't have
someone.
Because
you actually have a chin.
No, you don't want
exactly.
a V. I mean, you don't want a pointy jaw, but you know, a nice round jaw
Here's
would probably
thing.
Be.
So anyway, but he's like he's on a career path. So I don't think he's going to be in Tampa long.
Mm.
I think he is headed to either New York or LA for what he does.
So would this guy be described as a cut buddy, as some people describe it?
Or I've never heard that term.
A cut buddy?
A cut buddy.
Where is that from?
I don't know. It's an urban term, I believe, I've heard before.
Urban,
a
like?
Like in the cut?
I don't know.
Listen,
I've heard it before.
You know,
are you two fucking?
Oh, whoa.
Jesus.
That's what we need to know.
I don't want to get into all the particulars, but we do enjoy each other's company.
You enjoy that too.
So. You enjoy that dick, girl. That's what it is.
I did not say.
I'm a little perturbed at the uncensored podcast. Maybe it wasn't such a great idea to have me here. Now I'm worried. And
are you feeling very awkward?
I was a little concerned when you were on the microphone, and we'll get to that story. But I was a little worried with that. Now I'm just straight up. Oh my God.
Lolly just like puked in the garbage.
Would somebody please just explain what just happened?
Listen, I have like a phlegm issue happening, so I just spit some junk out.
Wow, Tim's like, yeah, glad we got a new PD. Bye.
All right. See ya.
I don't want, like, here's the thing. Like, I don't want to make him a thing because he's not. He's just, you know, like a sometimes. Here's what I really loved about him, and can I just be honest?
I love the circle talking right now. This is so fascinating.
Here's what I love about him. Is that on a night when I sort of need a little boost, like we had sort of been texting, and I'm like, hey, you should come to this blown off ball thing. And he's like, I'm going to really try and make it because he had to work late that day. And I was like, oh, bummer, I don't think he's going to make it. So then I turn around, and all tall drink of water with his like pink shirt and his chiseled jaw.
Yes.
And everybody goes, who's that? And I went, he came for me. He's
wandering around, and I bumped into him.
Yeah. I had this all wrong.
And I'm like, hey, I'm Ryan. I know you. Because he added me on Instagram.
Yeah. Oh.
And I'm like, you're looking for Holly, right? And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, let me take you to her.
Yeah.
It's that serious that he's adding your friends and coworkers on Instagram already?
No, not really.
No.
I mean, they have something in common.
Because we do the same stuff.
He does like photography and film and
stuff.
Oh,
I was going to ask. Okay.
Oh, he's in porn, so is Ryan. So that's actually what's happening right
now. Well, this is a big city for that, so you might be able to keep him here, apparently.
Yeah, that is true.
Yeah, I heard that there's one or two of those sites that originate from here. None that I've ever, you know, because I don't. I've heard.
A lot of research.
Wait a minute. I didn't know. I mean, I only know about like gay porn. I don't know about straight porn.
Well, I found because they have them over down the hall at the Bone all the time. So I was poking around. And apparently there's a couple notable brands, let's say, here that are, you know, between the Tampa and Miami area is what I found out from our friends down there.
Who knew?
Have you ever visited one of their studios before or anything?
No. No, let's just say this one that I heard about being local is it's not a studio as much as it is a vehicle.
Oh, bait bus.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. They are down here.
Don't try to pretend that you haven't.
Bang bus is from Tampa?
That's what I heard.
I didn't know that.
I can't. Either. I've just heard.
Well, you know what? I think the straight.
I didn't even know what it was. They had to explain it to me.
I'm sure. Well, I think the straight version is named Bang Bus, but the gay version, they call it Bait Bus because they bait the guys. They're like, ooh, hey, we have this sexy woman in the bus. And it's so fake.
Look,
this is all
so fake.
Look, I'm a corporate executive. I can't be. This
is
not
what
I. What
did you think uncensored podcast meant?
I thought that it meant we could drop a damn or something every once in a while. I thought we were going to do blown off, but we would be like, hey guys, you know,
this is not church.
We wouldn't bleep
Clark.
Them out. I thought that's not. Nope. Are we doing Hot in Hollywood and we're just not going to, you know, play the bleeps or whatever?
What do we do? About buttholes.
All right, okay.
Yeah. It's fine.
So, but the spin the bottle game, we have to talk about that.
I missed this whole thing.
Now, and this is what I wanted to ask you, Tim, because do you know what happens during.
A game of spin the bottle? No,
yes.
Just learned that.
No.
That one in 7 minutes in heaven or whatever. I never did that as a kid.
Oh, you never played spin the bottle as a child?
No. Mm-mm.
No, you were too busy working on radio stations when you were 17 years old and running them. Well, spin the bottle, it was really great. I think out of the one from last year and this year, this one was the best because the people, after they finally got warmed up and we were spinning it, they really got into it. But then there was sort of the moment heard around the world that happened during Spin the Bottle. Holly, you want to describe what happened?
So I saw this before it even happened because I was standing right by this couple. It was a couple, and they were fervently making out right on the edge of the Spin the Bottle game ring.
Mm-hmm.
And they're making out. Some guy on the opposite side of the Spin the Bottle game spins it. It lands on the girl who's making out with the boyfriend. And I look, and I'm like, immediately, even in my drunk brain, I was like, this is bad.
Oh.
So she comes up for air for making out with her boyfriend, looks across the room, and is like, no way, I'm not doing that. I was like, oh, shit. So then I run over to you immediately, and I was like, Miguel, there's a situation. All you could see, all Miguel saw was her say no. And then the best line of all time was uttered by Miguel, and it was this.
Absurd! I'm just saying, listen, I love every single one of you, but if you don't want to play, get the fuck out the game.
If you don't want to play, get the fuck out the game.
And by the way, that is now in my lexicon as far as, like, I'm going to use that in, like,
you can use it
one-on-ones,
everywhere.
Corporate meetings,
yes.
Performance reviews.
The next time
I have a problem with an employee somewhere, I'm going to be like, listen, if you don't want to play, get the fuck out the game.
Yes.
Miguel's eyes just turned to fire at that moment. Yes. Somebody on Twitter, you said earlier, commented that that applies towards anything.
It really does. And so what happened was, I didn't know Miguel was going to get that pissed. When he started yelling, I was like, oh, he just went like way, like 10 degrees angrier than I thought he was. I've never seen Miguel that angry. So what I did, because I was like, this could cause a fight between, like, you know, the station. So I plastered like the biggest on my face, and I took this girl by her shoulders, and I went, hi, okay, thank you so much for coming. You have to leave. Bye.
I love when Holly gets the white girl, like, thank you so much.
I couldn't even get, you know how I, because I have a crazy Holly too, what we call, what is it called? Promotion Holly?
Event Holly?
Event Holly.
Mm-hmm.
I have Event Holly, and because Miguel was already Event Miguel, I couldn't bust out Event Holly. Event Holly is like, ma'am. It wasn't going to work.
Security.
Yeah.
Security. Come on over here and get this bitch.
Event Holly do is like plaster like flight attendant Holly. And I am so thankful that you guys came to our event. Thank you so much. As I'm physically put off the dance floor.
Oh my gosh.
And she's like wasted, doesn't know what's going on. She's like, what? I don't know. And I'm smiling literally in her face as I'm pushing her, and I'm like, thank you so much for coming. You have to leave now.
I'm just so glad this didn't, like, nothing else, like, spun up out of this, and because that would have been a really bad situation.
That's what I was trying to diffuse the situation, which you're...
Well, and this is what we said this morning, is that that's why before the game starts, I give several warnings. I'm like, if you don't feel comfortable, if you don't want to play...
I have never seen two people more serious over a game of spin the bottle in my entire life.
It's
true. You've been so perturbed by this all weekend.
I have, because I was like, if you don't want to play,
get the fuck
out the
game.
And yeah, so, and I'll tell you, even as the game is going on, and if I see that, like, a girl feels uncomfortable with a guy who's about to kiss her, I say, why don't you two just hug? Like, I just want everyone to feel comfortable. I don't want anyone to feel like they were made to do something.
Right.
And so we try to keep it on the up and up. But that girl just sent me over the edge, and I was like, girl,
yeah, you were.
She didn't even mean to be in the game.
No, she was,
like,
just making
she was
out.
Just had wandered onto the dance floor, and I was like, bitch, get the fuck up out of this place. Anyway.
Speaking of uncomfortable, did anybody see the American Psycho dude?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh,
he had
I missed
slick
that.
Back hair and aviator sunglasses.
Oh no.
And I have a video of the bottle spinning on the floor, and this guy, he just comes up and he, like, starts rubbing. He's got his shirt off.
Rubbing his
and
titties.
He just walks up in there and he grabs this girl by the back of the head and just smooches her real hard.
Oh my god. I'm trying to find here, Tim. You can see a picture of him.
I'm so glad I was far, far away from all of this, because
look at this guy.
Let me see that.
This is the American. DJ Fresh called him the American Psycho guy.
No shirt on.
No.
Wow.
Tie. No shirt.
Wow.
It was really a hot mess.
Look at us sharing a microphone like Lady Gaga and Metallica.
Did you
see that last night?
Yes, at the Grammys, when the microphone for head guy of Metallica just didn't work.
Yeah.
Like, what was happening with CBS? Like,
with
their
producers. There's always
last
some
night.
Nonsense like that, but
which is very unfortunate. But you can see the photo gallery for this. It's at hot1015tampabay.com.
Who wouldn't want to check out slide 9 of
slide
66?
What's slide 9?
It's the American Psycho guy.
Oh, okay. Well, at least you know. So anyway, I thought it was a good event.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Tim, out of all your years of experience, because this is your first, because you didn't come to the one last year.
No.
What did you think?
No, I thought it was great. I mean, I've done events like this for my whole career. I thought it was a lot of fun. And everyone, you know, when you can just have a whole bunch of people in a room just having fun and there's not a whole lot of drama, it's just a good night.
Yeah.
You know, there was not too, you know, you always hate it when somebody comes in and, like, ruins the party.
Right.
Because they're too drunk or, you know, there's some kind of scene or whatever. But I thought everyone was pretty, it was a good crowd and the music was great.
Everyone was well behaved. There was no, because I haven't heard it from anyone else how the rest of the on-air personalities did that night.
No, everyone, I turned around and y'all were gone before I was even, I came back. I was, like, on the outside bar talking to somebody and while the spin the bottle thing was happening. And then I came back and everybody was like, Jenna and Chase were headed out, and you guys were gone. I'm like, where the hell did everybody go?
Yeah, I try. Well, I don't like to be wasted around listeners.
Well, that's probably good. And I commend you for that. That's a smart choice.
I know when to exit the party and then go be with the gays, where then I can be totally shit-faced. And,
you got to have your group. That's the thing about being a professional and an adult is knowing what group you can be shit-faced with.
Exactly, because you don't want to do it with a listener that's going to be like, I love
Miguel. Or the coworkers where, you know, it's Monday morning and now it's awkward because you were that guy. Look, I've done that and learned from it, hopefully, and so, yeah, there you go.
But one of the awkward moments, and if you want to stay for this part, Tim, I don't know if you want to.
Oh, is there a... I don't know what you're even going to talk about.
No, this isn't bad. We just had to spend a couple of moments on this. The other news that happened going into this weekend that I'm now single.
Oh, let's talk about that.
Why wouldn't I want to stay for this?
Well, I don't know. I mean, because it's not as fun as exciting. This is where, like, our podcast runs the
gamut. That's not what I would say. I would say this is the most exciting part of the whole thing.
Oh.
Well, I think people want to hear about this the most.
That is true, I guess. So I announced it on Friday on the show that I am now single. Hot Teacher and I are no longer dating. We're no longer together. And it was weird this weekend because at the Blown Off Ball, I went out to several other places this weekend, and it was a lot of, oh, are you okay? Mm. Are you okay?
Well, I don't think anyone else knows what to do other than that when there's a breakup.
I noticed that. And then I felt like I had to... overcompensate, and I was like, no, I'm great.
I know when I broke up with my ex, it was right before the holidays. I literally lied through the holidays because I didn't want to get the are you okay, how you like people would be like, how are you doing? I'm like, we're good, we're fine,
right?
And I would just lie my way through it until I got to January outside the holidays because I just did not want to get into it.
It's true, because I don't know exactly what you're supposed to say, because you know when you're especially at the Blown Off Ball and you know
You got the green bracelet on.
You know, the Katy Perry's blaring in the background. And I'm like, I'm not okay. I'm actually want to cry right now.
Yeah.
Like, so it's like, I'm not often uncomfortable in situations, but I felt uncomfortable because I didn't know how to react or what to say.
Well, that's a weird place for people to bring anything up. So
I think everybody asks because it's a nice gesture to
right.
say, like, how are you? But really, the answer is a big laundry list.
That's
usually.
True. That's a good point. There's probably one out of every five people that ask that actually care.
Right. And I mean, and one girl did at the Blown Off Ball. Like, we were out at the outside bar, and I was like, she was like, what happened? I was like, well, you know, we're just two different people. And she goes, no, what really happened? I want to know the non-radio answer. And I was like,
was she a listener?
Yeah.
But she didn't care about you. She just came. She was
drama.
Just nosy. Yeah.
She was the drama. I mean, if I told her, I was like, well, girl, here's what happened. She was like, oh. I'm like, are you ready for my emotional response after you just had me tell you this whole story? But it was nice. But yeah, so I'm single. And I'm sort
how
of,
is it going? I mean, how was this weekend? You were busy this weekend, but has it really, I mean, okay. So for all intents and purposes, you were single as of Friday on the air, but you were single before that in real life.
We broke up Monday.
So how was last week dealing with the fallout of a breakup?
It's been weird because we knew for a while without saying it that things were, he used the word coasting.
Mm-hmm.
We were coasting. And a lot of times, like my mom had asked, you know, I haven't seen Hot Teacher in any of your pictures or anything. So is everything okay? We were sort of like living two separate lives. And so without knowing it, I had sort of already taken myself out of it.
Yeah.
And so it's not like I've had this big breakdown of an emotional mess.
It's been a long time, I think, a slow decomposition.
Yes. And so I think that, because it all started over an argument the week before last, and it kind of spilled over into the weekend where we didn't talk about it. And then last Monday, we sat down at Tijuana Flats and sort of just laid everything out on the table. And I was probably the person that was more so thinking that this is it. Because for some reason, over the past couple of weeks, I've been thinking a lot about life and just literally how short we have on this earth. Like, it's so crazy when you think about the minuscule time we have. And I was thinking to myself over the weekend, we're not happy. And so do you really want to look back and say, well, we tried to make it work for an extra year.
And why? And why try so hard? It's not like you have a kid together or something,
right.
And
that's what I used to tell you when, you know, you were going through, Holly was going through her situation. I remember I was like, this is one of the best things I've ever said, is I was like, you don't get an award for staying in a relationship at the end of it.
No, for toughing it out when it's not working.
Well, and it's not about time. Trying to make it work isn't about time. It's about doing the right things, right? And going and making sure you've addressed everything. And once you've addressed everything and you've done all the right things, that's the point where you're like, all right, if I stop banging my head up against the wall, I'm going to feel better.
Right, right, exactly.
It's not an amount of like, oh, we did it for 6 months or a year or whatever.
Right.
There's no, you know, because people can figure it out in a month that they've tried everything and been through it all, or it can take them 3, 4, 5 months, maybe a year, whatever. You just have to make sure that you've, in your head, gotten to that point where you're like, that's the ceiling.
Right.
And sometimes it's your feelings too. And like, I don't know, that can turn off in like a moment, in a day, in a month. But like, once you sort of make the shift internally that you're not in this anymore, there's no like shoveling, trying to shovel back unless you really want to try to make it work, quote unquote. But I just feel like once those feelings flip, it's not much you can do to get it back.
And I feel like that's part of it where I'll take the blame for part of the relationship, because we had some things that happened at the beginning of it that got us off to a rocky start. And it was sort of after that, we both said, okay, we're going to dig in and we're going to make it work. And I think we did. And I think it was around the summertime, maybe like after the cruise, that I sort of started, I think, if I had to take a guess, of when I started to sort of pull back a little bit.
Ooh, a cruise will do that to you.
Yeah, I mean, but nothing bad happened.
No, I know, but that's...
There doesn't need to be one, like a big cataclysmic thing.
No, yeah, but I'm saying like lock yourself on a boat with somebody for 5 days, and if it's not happening, that will draw your attention to it more than anything.
It's true, and now that you say that, I do remember saying something after that, because I remember we met this other gay couple that lives here in Tampa Bay that was on the boat. And I remember one morning, hot teacher had left the room. He woke up before I did and went to do whatever. And I woke up, got ready, and went to get breakfast. And I was looking at this other gay couple, and they were like sitting on the side of the boat having breakfast, looking at the water. And at that moment, I was like, I don't know where hot teacher is. Like, I don't, and I'm having breakfast by myself. And that was one of those moments where, and I even brought it up to him, I was like, why don't we do that? Like, neither of us, and not blame can be on one person, but both of us would do things without the other that both of us would say was weird. And we'd ask, why don't we stop to share those moments together? And that was, I think, one of the first times that I was like, huh, sort of unconsciously. And then after that, it sort of started to unravel.
Mm-hmm.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
So now you're in like the post breakup phase. Do you find yourself like looking through the rosy colored glasses all the time and going, well, it was really great. And, you know, except for that, like, or are you more like, do you get it? Or are you like focused on like, because this is what I've been doing for the past 2-3 months is like, well, no, those moments where it was really great were like the most perfect moments and greatest moments. And if we just could have figured this thing out, then it would have been that all the time. And I don't, you know, the reality is there was a whole lot going on that was wrong, but it's hard not to. And I'm not like an overly positive person either. Like, I'm a realist all day long. But when it comes to relationships after a breakup like that, I'll go, well, that weekend we went to the Don Cesar and just like, I mean, it was perfect. And we couldn't, you know, those phone conversations at night where we're on the phone for 4 hours and couldn't stop talking to each other because we just, you know, it was that easy. I mean, but then there was the knockdown dragouts that I don't think about.
Right. Exactly.
And you go,
almost definitely. And I think that's something that I sort of keep running through my mind, is I keep thinking, what could we have done differently? But that's sort of the conclusion that I came to, is that we just don't fit as people. And I think that's what makes it sort of, that's what makes it not so sad for me, because I feel like in some cases when you feel like, oh my gosh, I've lost my soulmate or I've lost my person.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I feel like we were two people who gelled really well at first. And the thing I really, really respected and loved about Hot Teacher was that he was a communicator and he was a thinker.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I was looking for so long and I could never find. And we found that, but then...
But you can't just have that.
Exactly. Because then
on some
everything
dates
else.
Where I'm like learning this too, and I'm like, I just, all I want is someone to communicate with me.
Right.
And then I found someone who could communicate with me, and then I was like, oh, wait a minute. I actually need more than just this, but that's a huge basis.
Right.
So it's like you're slowly learning the pieces of the puzzle of what kind of a person you actually need to be with. And like, it's cool when you can find one really big piece.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that there aren't tons of other pieces missing.
I also, and this might not be your thing, but just for everybody's thing, at some point or another, I read this article that struck with me over the holidays on Thrillist, or no, it wasn't Thrillist. It was that other one, Thought Catalog or whatever. Mm-hmm. And the title, I forget what the exact title of it is, but the whole vibe of it was why we're not always meant to be with our soulmate. Like, why your person isn't the one that you're going to spend the rest of your life with, or something
what
like that.
Does it follow the thought that there's only one soulmate? Because I don't believe that.
No, I think that was part of it. But you can have a person, I guess the spirit of it was, you can have a person and you're not meant to be with them forever or whatever.
I think there are different soulmates that come along at different times. And I think there's romantic soulmates and non. I consider Miguel one of my soulmates.
Yeah.
And we're just in each other's lives in a different way. Doesn't mean I want to, like, we're not romantically linked. But
you
like,
don't want to touch my penis, Holly?
Okay, all right.
No.
We were in a good, I felt a lot better
happens.
About the vibe of things for a little bit.
This is what happens.
I felt comfortable being here for a change.
Welcome
and we're
to
back.
It
was a safe space.
But like, I consider Miguel, you to be one of my soulmates. Mm-hmm. But I've also had what I would consider to be a lover soulmate situation, but I'm not with that person. And I had to go through a lot of like intense soul searching myself to try to figure out why. Like, if this was the perfect person for me, why is it not? Why am I not with this person? But then I read this really great quote about how it was almost like a spirit situation where like an angel or something was put into that person's body. Like,
oh,
this
wow.
person came along at a right time for you to guide you through trouble or to get you through to the next phase. And then once you got, you don't need them in that capacity anymore because you're moving up a level and that person was for who you were and try to get you to the next level. And maybe that's not why they're not needed anymore.
Wow.
It's tough.
That's like, interesting.
I cried a lot when I found out that was probably going to be the case because you don't want it to be. You're like, I kicked and screamed and fought it. And I was like, no, like, this is my person. Like, this is supposed to be happening. But if it's just not meant to be for the rest of your life that way, then you eventually have to just let go and appreciate what it was for that time.
We were having that conversation when I broke up with my ex about how all the things that you just will take away from the relationship, and we're trying to both be really, both be really at peace about it. And I'm like, well, I got to tell you, there are a lot of things that I had never considered in a relationship before, like kids. And I mean, there were all these different things. And I said, I've learned how I want to treat, like, one of the biggest takeaways for me in that relationship was how I want to treat a girl, right? Like, how I want to be in a relationship. And that relationship moved me up a couple of levels on that, I feel like, and forced me to be better and everything. And so now I know if I'm not in it to be at least this good, then it's not right. And so all this stuff. So
that's
I'm saying
great.
All these things, right? And she's like, well, you know, Judah and the Lion is like my new favorite band because you took me to Next Big Thing. And I'm like,
but see, just
right,
because
thank
she
you.
Didn't,
have a good night.
But listen to me. Just because she wasn't ready to express in that moment
I'm glad
what you did
she,
for her.
I had never watched a concert from the side of the stage before, and that I am going to value and appreciate and look back on for the rest of my life.
And I'm sure there's other stuff that like she got spiritually mentally out of it. But like in that moment maybe she just didn't share it, which really sucks for you.
Or she just didn't have like couldn't think of like the big picture at that moment.
At that moment. It doesn't mean that
like,
she doesn't know.
That's
have
like a
something.
Hard moment too. Like your thoughts are everywhere.
Yes.
No, look, it's fair. You know what? Watching a concert from the side of the stage is cool. I'm so glad that I got to bestow that upon you.
You changed her life, Tim.
I did.
Now, how long were you two together?
Oh, I don't have a right to speak. I mean, it was like 6 months. It was like
no,
a cup of coffee.
Let's talk about this because Miguel and I have spoken about this way before. I don't know if we've ever talked about it on the podcast. It doesn't matter. Time. You already said it yourself. Like, time doesn't matter.
Right.
You could be with someone for 7 years and not feel the connection you feel with someone that you've met in the span of a few months and then ultimately have like a bond for 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
That can be stronger and mean more than some long-term relationship.
Oh my God, and it was. Mm-hmm. What was your, how long were you with?
We were together for a year.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like the one, I was, the relationship that devastated me the most, I think, it most recently was like a 6 month, 5 to 6 month thing. And it took me forever.
It took a minute.
It took over a year.
Yeah.
It took over a year. It was like almost a year and a half. And it's just because like when you get something like that, and it's right, like you suddenly realize what you are looking for.
Mm-hmm.
And then what kind of sucks a little bit on the flip side of that is that you're like, I can't settle now.
Right.
Right.
Because once you've gotten to that level,
it's been introduced
I don't want
to
go back down to something that,
that's
you know.
Almost the worst part. Like,
yeah. Your
right
mind
now
has
for
been
me,
moved out.
Everybody I look at now, I look at on a different, like, through a different lens. You know
right.
what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, at Blown Off Ball, like, I'm looking out, I'm like, oh, there is no one here
yeah.
that is even remotely, you know what I mean? Like, going to be that for me.
I really think, too.
Or that I would want to be that for.
Right.
More importantly.
I think what worries me a little bit. And I had to sort of reassure myself this weekend is that after finding someone who I connected with so well, and like I this weekend I downloaded Grindr. It's sort of like the Tinder for the gay world.
Yeah.
And I was looking at it and like literally I was just like, ugh.
It's like, ugh, ugh.
I
know.
And you know,
it's just,
in between
ugh.
Now and like the next great love, like there's going to be these little things that don't mean anything because as someone who's a little removed now, trust me, there's a couple of little things that don't mean anything,
right.
and it's just it leaves you pretty feeling empty.
It just
well,
seems
that
like
was
a lot of work.
Yeah,
it,
it, well, it is.
For
well,
nothing.
And you
and
do
like,
have
all
to
that, all that effort is going to go into that, and you're going to just waste so much time, and that's why it seems like a big daunting task.
It does.
Yes.
It is.
It does. Yes, it really is. And so you know, have a few little fling, and like, and that's the thing is like when you're having like a fling of sorts, you're like, at least I know what this is.
Mm-mm.
What makes it even more tricky though is that everybody that you come across, they're not at that level yet. So if they want to have a fling and you want to have a fling, you sometimes can't even have an open conversation about it because people are afraid to let people know what they're really looking for.
Well, the other hard thing is the remission. Right, so you'll go in and I've already decided in my head like I'm not looking for anything serious because you know the old adage is probably really true when you're not looking for it you find it or whatever
yeah.
but also it just will make you more and more frustrated and it's a big distraction ultimately in the day if you're constantly just looking for it and
true.
You're fixated mm-hmm. on it so I'm like all right I'm gonna go out and be a makeout bandit for a little while and just boom 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 mm-hmm. so the first couple of times I'm like that was awful I feel worse than I did before mm-hmm. like blah 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 and then you'll start to find people who aren't like the probably not the maybe not the right person, but you'll do like little things like you'll hold. This is gonna sound so queer, but you'll like hold. You'll be holding hands or whatever, or she'll fall asleep on your chest, and you'll be like,
"You miss it."
This is like now I think I like this person,
yeah,
but
I
don't
know.
Really.
Right.
But it's just
oh,
because
God, that's
you just like
so
the action,
bad.
Right? Just
I
because
know.
This is the part that I miss so much about.
Yes, the
person.
No, you're so right. Mm-hmm. And then if you find someone that matches on several levels,
right.
and then you have like amazing
right.
physical chemistry, you trick yourself and you're like, well, maybe I could ignore some of the things. And then
right,
you're like,
right,
oh,
right.
shit, I can't ignore those things. But at the same time, it just feels really good because it's like
I
a
right.
soothing patch on your soul.
I feel like there's a lot of people that aren't as detail-oriented about thinking about it.
Oh, God.
Like we are right now.
It's
right.
the worst.
So you find somebody else that's in that stage and they have no clue. They're oblivious to the fact that that's why they like you. It's because they like the comfortability of laying on
yes,
your chest
oh my God,
and
Ryan.
All that stuff.
So right.
And then you find that out later and that's another waste of time. And
it
that's
is a waste.
Like you're not connected on that level and like the deepness.
Yeah. And then you're like, why am I wasting time? But luckily, I think as you get older and as you go through it more, you spend less time getting to that point. Like you don't have to sink 6 months into it. You start to
yeah.
like kind of realize quicker the older you get and the more experience you have with it. But it really does depend on the other person.
Well, like you said, the time factor before. I think in like less than a few months, you know if you're going to connect with this person or not,
mm-hmm.
Depending on how much you're together. So like mine, we hung out like every single day. And within a few months, we're like, yeah, this is going to work. But once it's starting to not work, I feel like you coast. So that's where the
it's
time
true.
Comes in.
Because
See,
you get comfortable.
Yeah.
And then you're like, well, I really, like, who am I going to go to Taco Tuesday with? Like, shit.
Yeah. Right. It's habit forming.
Yeah,
but
it
my,
is.
And to that, though, I'm, like, super impatient. So, and the connections that I've had have happened really quickly. So I'm kind of spoiled in that, like, this most recent girl, like, we connected, like, right
yeah.
away. And it just went really, and that's why it was such a crazy thing for 6 months. But if it doesn't, like, I expect it almost in my head to be like, boom, like, you
know,
spark happens, like, and we're in. But it doesn't, it's not that
always.
Way. You gotta kind of give it time and
you
see
do.
How it plays out. But I'm a action guy. Like, I need, you know, I mean, y'all know me from work.
Yes.
I'm like, let's get it done.
Right.
Ain't nobody got time for that. Like,
yeah. What's so scary to me. As I'm listening to you all talk about this,
we're all the same effing person.
I know. Like, it just, because there's just so many people that don't feel and think on that level.
No,
and
that's why it's so hard
to go through all of that again. Just, it just makes me tired.
Well, not that that makes anybody like lesser person or anything.
No, not at all.
Because I'm
all
good in some aspects, and
right.
other people are really great, and I can't do that. So,
well, sure.
Just
I mean,
to put that out there.
Thank you for saying that, because that was one of the things that Hot Teacher had a problem with for me, is that I can think and feel on this level, but it's hard for me to let someone into that.
Mm.
It's really, I mean, because Holly, I feel like I really didn't, like, you know, we live together and, you know, we're best friends. And for me, I feel like I really didn't truly, truly let you in until after you had your child and you were in the hospital with the MRSA?
Mm-hmm.
And I laid on your hospital bed and I started crying because I was like, what if you died?
Yeah.
And then,
well,
like,
I was in a pretty bad state at that time.
Yeah. And like that, and that was after what? 4 years of
Which
knowing
weird.
Each
like,
other?
I didn't know why you were crying. Like, I was like I was already there with you.
Right.
And I was like, oh, like, I didn't realize that.
But you just have that moment, like, and it doesn't matter who it is in your life, you'll just always have that inflection point, right? Like, where you're comfortable enough, and then you start letting that person in. And sometimes it happens around an event, like, not to get too deep all on my family, but I had the worst relationship with my dad my entire life. And then I was 22, and he had a heart attack. And ended up in the ICU having triple bypass surgery. And it took me all the way up to being 22 to, like, look, it's similar to look at him in hospital and go, I need to fix this. Like, all of a sudden I feel different things and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. You know, relationship is the same thing. Sometimes it happens in the first week.
Right.
And sometimes it takes a while. It's not anything that you have to change about yourself.
No, it takes people a different set of times.
Right. And with different circumstances, it affects that. Too.
Right.
My thing was, I was always like, I love talking about this. Like, if I had a problem in my relationship, we would talk about it all day long. Like, I could talk about it for hours, and I love that. We would dissect it, and just like we're doing here, and then ultimately figure it out and be better because of it. And that was really part of what was powerful about our connection. But my flaw was that she would have to, like, crack me to get me to say it. Like, I wouldn't. I would be a lot of bit passive aggressive up front,
right.
And just react and not say anything. Like, oh, this bothered me. And then she'd be like, she could tell immediately. She'd be like, what's wrong? What's wrong? What's wrong? And she used to get pissed because she'd have to, like, drag it out of me. And then once you drag it out of me, we're fine. We can have a conversation all day long about it, to your point about being so, like, analytical about everything. But the wall was always up because I always felt like what I was feeling was so insignificant. You know what I mean? Like, I shouldn't be worried about that, or I shouldn't be thinking that, or whatever.
Right.
That's true. That's something I learned along the way, too, is that if you have a grievance, you've got to talk it out.
And you look back and you go, oh, shit, like, if I had just said that, like, what I was thinking, it wouldn't have been a big deal. Like, we had the, like, best date night once, and we got back to her house, and she was divorced with two children. So I go downstairs in, like, the laundry room or something to get something for her, and there are pictures. The laundry room's next to the kids' playroom, so there are all these pictures of her and her ex still up all over the walls.
Ooh.
And so my heart sinks into my stomach, and I'm like, what is this? It's been like a year, whatever. And I just immediately, like, crawl up into my hole.
Mm-hmm.
And so for the whole rest of the night, she is, like, dragging this out of me.
Mm.
And long story short, I don't know if you've been or have thought about this, but she read somewhere there's research that shows, like, when you've got kids at that certain age, you don't want to take the pictures down, because then the kids go, what happened?
Yeah.
What's going on? It's just another sign that something's changed
in their life.
Right. Yeah. So, but think about how much time and effort and energy and frustration I would have saved if I had just been like, hey, so
why are there pictures?
Yes.
But instead I was just like, I'm good.
I know.
I'm fine.
And
nothing.
But
everything's good.
Yeah. Finding someone that is also at that level, as I'm, like, becoming more of, like, a talker, and I'm trying to, because that was my big problem in my marriage, is that I didn't talk about anything, and we talked about not a lot of stuff, but he's also not a deep thinker, not that there's anything wrong with that, he just that's who he is.
Right.
I need someone who is gonna, you know, talk things out with me, and then it's a tough find.
Yeah, it is. And so that's sort of what I'm tasked with now, is sort of, but I'll tell you, I had this glorious moment that I really wanted to just sort of say out loud and remind myself this for, you know, because right now it's like I'm single and I feel very, I had this freeing moment this weekend for both of us. But I had to sort of, I sent a text to two of my best friends from college. There was a moment where Saturday, I was getting ready to go have drinks with you, Tim. Hmm. I was getting ready to go have drinks with you, and then I was going to have lunch with a friend and then meet some other people out and then go. So there was like a whole line of things I had planned. And as I was getting out of the shower Saturday, and I had this moment of peace where I said, you know, if I don't find someone, I'm going to be okay because I have so many people that care for me. And I really truly felt that. And that probably made me the most emotional on Friday as I made this post on my Facebook. And so many people came out. And it's one thing how, like, listeners say to us, you know, I care for you and I want you to be okay. But then, like, the messages I got, it was just, I felt that connection. And I just felt like everything was going to be okay. And I just hope that 6 months, a year from now, when I'm finally feel comfortable in dating and the stuff, you know, my dating life is always insane and shit happens to me that never happens to anyone else. And I have those moments where I'm like, no one will love me, yada, yada. I just hope that I remember that it's going to be okay.
Yeah. And it's hard because I go through that in waves.
Right.
Where I'm like, I would rather just do my own thing. I have a lot going on. And I'm happy with myself and I appreciate myself. Mm-hmm. And then every now and then, like, I'll be like, God, I don't think anyone gets me or mm-hmm. and or will like me for who I am and or appreciate what I have to give. But then you have to just dig yourself out of that and be like,
right.
Does it matter?
Right.
The answer is really no.
And that's why I texted.
As long as you like yourself.
It's true. And that's why I texted two of my best friends from college who we always vacation together. And I was like, when we retire, we're buying a big house. We're all going to live together. We're going to go on cruises. We're all going to go to the gay club and hit on the young 25-year-olds who think we're creepy. And we'll just have a ball of a time.
Well, mm-hmm. it's there are two things that I would just say to, you know, whatever, kind of close out my thoughts on it. The first one that I learned over the last couple months when I've really been not okay is there was a meme I saw on Instagram and it said, it's okay to not be okay.
Yeah.
Because we beat ourselves up about it. We're like, but you got to take the time to go through whatever you need to go through. And then you just pick the day and you say, all right, it's going to be Monday. And I'm giving myself until Monday. And then on Monday, it's a new day and I'm going to work. I sat around for a month and like was not productive. I don't know who's listening to this, but I was not productive at work.
Right.
You know, I was distracted. Mm-hmm. I couldn't sleep. I mean, I like didn't sleep. And so, but that, I look back and I'm like, you know what? That's fine. We're going to have those times in life or whatever.
And even after your day that you pick, it's still okay.
Yeah, you still have moments. And I'm like, yeah, no, trust me. Like, it'll still bubble up. Like, to your point, you'll still feel on a day like really crappy or something will happen. That makes you go back for a little bit.
Right.
And that's fine too, because those will get, you know, less and less frequent, mm-hmm. and they won't maybe not yep. always go completely away depending on how important that person was to you. But the other thing is to your friend's part is, mm-hmm. and it's unfortunate in life, sometimes we have these amazing moments of realization happen because of something negative. You know, they're the byproduct of something negative.
Well, right. That's where the change comes about.
Right. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And perspective too, right? Mm-hmm. So for like 3 months and going through this, I realized how amazing you know, my friends are because people would call in the morning and check in. If I didn't answer a text message for 2 hours, people would be like, are you okay? Is everything good? And like, right. I was having people like what do you call it when they have the police come and check right. on me? I mean, but that, I'm like, you guys are crazy. I was just like going to the bathroom.
But it's good right. to know that they care.
Right. Yeah. And it makes you realize how fortunate you are. And however you fill that gap or whatever. This is so cathartic for me right now.
Isn't it great?
Sorry, let me get up off my soapbox.
No, welcome to the Uncensored
one
Podcast.
One more part too to like close out my thoughts of like everything I just listened to is you just mentioned having those moments where they would get less frequent over time. And then also you're kind of yearning for something to develop back into what you had right. kind of before, like a same situation, not the same like feelings in relationship, but just be present. Just live in the moment, like just have the moments, because if you're looking forward to the future or like looking back on the past, you're never going to create moments for that time.
Right.
So if you're always just stop for a second and be conscious and say, this is my moment right now. These are moments that I'm creating and then I can remember them later.
So okay, that's easy for you to say. You're the one at the table with the girlfriend that looked hot on Friday night. Okay,
no, but,
let me just put that out there.
I came out of a 4.5-year relationship into that one.
Yeah, right. Which
like,
there was not
really,
a whole lot of time
really
in
quick.
Between.
There was only a couple months in between,
yeah.
If that. And there's a lot of time where I was looking back And it's just, you have to just let it go and be like in the moment.
I'm a bad one for fantasizing and stuff
like
that.
And now it's great.
Yeah. So. And you have to be present. I've always prided myself in the past of all, like, being the in the moment friend who's like, don't, like, let's not leave. We have like one more song at the club or whatever. Cause like, you gotta like in that moment, really appreciate what you have. Mm-hmm. Even though I'm a daydreamer, I still try to be what Ryan said. I still try to be present.
Let it go. Let it go.
Girl, yes. Like Elsa anymore. Got me through it when I was going through some shit, by the way. I really.
Oh God. Woo. I think we're all going to be okay. Yeah. All
right. We're good.
Holly O'Connor is going to be okay. That
yes,
I know for sure.
She is. Ryan. What's all your social media?
Radio McGibb, MCGIB.
Holly O'Connor.
Radio Holly.
Tim Clark.
Should I post this picture of me and 21 Pilots on Instagram?
No, and that's not helping anything. You scratching out your ex.
Yeah, I got it. But she's in the middle of the damn picture. By the way, this is when you meet, hey, pro tip, when you meet artists or celebrities or whatever, you got to go, you flank the artist so that way it can be cropped appropriately.
Send it to me, I can Photoshop that to make
can
it look
Can you Photoshop
normal.
Her out of it?
I can make it look normal.
Because I look damn good in this picture, and I want it, and now they're Grammy
Ryan
Award winners.
I'll do some magic on that.
Either
that
or
on
just.
Your Tinder.
Yeah. Well, no, I got Taylor Swift on my Tinder. It ain't doing me any damn good.
On your Tinder. Like,
my
this
first
my
Tinder picture is me
that.
And Taylor Swift giving me a big hug, and I've gotten no matches. I think it's broken.
Oh,
anyway, Tim Clark on all the things with Tim Clark with an E.
With an E.
It's on the end.
Well, Tim, thank you for hanging out with us during the podcast.
It's been fun. I might get in trouble and get fired. I might not be here because of that earlier conversation about the
bus. Listen, ain't nobody listen to our podcast. Ain't nobody from corporate paying
That's
attention
right.
to us.
We got one corporate listener right here.
Yeah, we got one, and he was in it. All of my social media is Miguel Fuller, MIGUELFULLER. You can listen to the Uncensored podcast at hot1015tampabay.com, or you can go to iTunes and type in Miguel and Holly Uncensored. Just make to rate and subscribe.
I'm doing that right now.
Thank
and
you.
Just remember, if you don't want to play, get the fuck out the game.
That's right.
Want more Miguel and Holly? Listen to past episodes of Miguel and Holly Uncensored at hot1015tampabay.com, the Hot 101.5 app, or on iTunes.